Hey, guys, Houston Rockets going tonight. They are taking on the Brooklyn Nets. And James Harden, obviously, back in town. The beard is back. Kevin Durant is back. Well, he's just playing in Houston again. But this is a chance for your Rockets to really catch a W against a good team. Six-game winning streak. This is a chance to make it seven. The energy in the building should be something like we have not seen for a while. Tickets are selling fast. If you want to be part of that energy in the building when James Harden makes it back into Houston and the Rockets extend their winning streak to seven games, why don't you simply go to Rockets.com, get your ticket now, and be in the building for the big matchup of your red-hot Houston Rockets taking on the Brooklyn Nets. It's Rockets basketball, Rockets.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. While you were doing that, Tim Mann, ESPN NBA reporter, was listening to you do a commercial for the Rockets. And Tim, welcome to the show.
When a commercial is a public service announcement something that people should
not really a public service announcement per se. It was actually a paid spot. So Tim McMahon joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tim, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man. I don't know how much of that is going on around elsewhere, but the Rockets here have got to sell this team, and it was a difficult sell up until about six games ago. It was an impossible sell, and now they're on this six-game win streak. Okay, but it's for the most part it's been done without Kevin Porter Jr. and without Jalen Green
and against some lesser teams.
That's
fine.
Losing the lesser teams. Anyway. Yeah. So what do you think about this little run that they're on? And to me, it's kind of Tim. It's not all that great because you don't have the guys involved who are really the biggest part of your future.
So you are a Houston radio host who had to live through a 20-game losing streak last year, a 15-game losing streak now, or recently. They've responded by somehow righting the ship and winning six straight, and you're not happy about the winning streak. I'm gonna tell you this. In a rebuild like this, you're going to have to take the rays of sunshine where they come. And now, I understand what you're saying in terms of, look, the primary objective of this season is the development of the young players. And top of that list is Jalen Green. Number two on that list is Kevin Porter Jr. So I see what you're saying. Damn, you would never get invited to a party at Almost.
I know, it's different. I know. I want to see, though, because what I've seen out of Jalen, do you like the rebuild that you're seeing right now? Because when Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green are on the floor together, it's not very cohesive.
Yeah, and look, Jalen Green is not ready to impact winning unless he just gets red hot right now. Unless he just has one of these nights where he's 8 of whatever from 3. And that doesn't mean that Jalen Green doesn't have, perennial all-star type of potential. The guy I always point to, and it's not hard to find the comparison, is Anthony Edwards last season. Not different body styles, all that kind of stuff. But my point is, a high-scoring potential teenage shooting guard, it's going to be tough. Anthony Edwards had no clue in the world what he was doing for the first few months of his NBA career. Jalen Green's head has also been spinning, and you've seen that on the floor. The hope is he'll be back sooner than later. I certainly don't get the sense that it's imminent, his return. And that he will continue to get an experience and continue to grow. And again, going back to Anthony Edwards, he's a guy who is a very good, if not an all-star quite yet, but a very good player in his second year. The growth can happen quickly, but when you start a teenage rookie and he's going to be kind of the focal point of your offense, there's going to be some tough times.
Yeah, I think it's a tough philosophy on how you handle a player like Jalen Green right now, because we see it in football. The 49ers are sticking Trey Lance on the bench and they say this is best for his developmental growth. The Kansas City Chiefs did that with Patrick Mahomes. In basketball, though, and this is a really bad team, Rafael Stone and Steven Silas have to figure out, how do we get fans excited about this player and how do we help him grow without doing damage to his overall I guess, profile in the near future about, you know, in terms of who he's going to be as a player?
I don't know if it's Rafael Stone and Steven Silas' job to figure out how to get the fans excited. If they develop the player, the fans, you know, you build it and they will come. If Jalen Green develops into one of the best scorers in the NBA, fans will get excited. I don't think that they need to be worried about always selling tickets during the early stages of a rebuild. Now, you know, perhaps there's other people over there who feel differently, and that's fine. They have an entire marketing department. But again, I think when you start throwing, especially at a coach who's trying to figure out how he can develop players when it's his first full-time head coaching job, if you start putting ticket sales on him, come on, dude. Well, let him worry about basketball. Let other people worry about ticket sales.
Tim McMahon, NBA reporter, ESPN, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Jay Will, this morning on ESPN Radio, made a comment, said, the East is better than the West, and it's been a long time since that's been the case. You agree?
You look at the standings and give me an argument otherwise. The East is way better than the West. You know, the Grizzlies are sitting at 14-10. So surprising, 14-10, I'd even say. They're the four seed. There's nobody else behind them in the Western Conference who's more in a game above 500. You know, the five seed in the West would be, you know, scrapping for a play-in in the Eastern Conference. And the East is a lot deeper. Now, you can argue, well, the champions still might come out of the West. I think there's two teams in particular and a group of three, if you include the Jazz, who obviously have to prove it in the playoffs, who, you know, can argue that they're as bona fide a championship contender as anybody. But top to bottom, it's not even close East to West anymore.
The Nuggets are usually up there. Will they? The Clippers will be better as we go along, right?
Yeah. The Nuggets have had, they've got two max guys who are out now. Kawhi Leonard's out for the Clippers. Portland's sinking, but you know they've got Dame, and now unfortunately CJ McCollum's. But you know, so there's all kinds of circumstances, but still, you know, the competition to get into not just the playoffs but the play-in is much, much tougher now in the East than it is the West. And regardless of circumstances, there's no way you could argue otherwise.
I want to talk about this Luka article, because he's a guy who is, you know, one of the next big young superstars. But I do feel like with what's happened with Zion Williamson, with what has happened with a lot of players over the years, conditioning matters, how you handle yourself in the mm-hmm. offseason matters. I didn't expect Luka to be one of those guys, but you guys talk about the fact that Luka has weighed over 260 pounds over his last 2 years headed into camp. That is going to have an impact as he gets older. And I'm curious to see what you think or what you're hearing about how Dallas plans on handling that, how Luka plans on handling it.
Well, and let's be honest, it's having an impact when he's 22. I mean, Luka's putting up really good numbers, but he's not playing to the extraordinarily high standard that he set. And last year, he got up to a slow start last year because he was, you know, not in great shape. He was able to play his way into shape and obviously have a first-team All-NBA season and was phenomenal during the playoffs, phenomenal in the Olympics for Slovenia. I tell you, it's a little alarming that in 3 weeks, the three-week break that he took, he was able to get in this rough of shape. But he did. And, you know, Luka is going, like, if he's in really good shape, he's probably in the upper 240s. Like, he's a big, thick guy. He's got, you know, just that body type. But when you're pushing 260, that's too much. And he's a guy who at some point he's going to have to decide, hey, am I cool with just being one of the best players in the league and being very, very good? Or do I really want to fulfill my potential and see where, you know, how high I can be among the all-time greats? Because he has that kind of potential. And, you know, it's not, you can look at a guy like Nikola Jokic. Look at his body early in his career and look at you can see the work that he's put in recent years, and he's gone from being very good to last year being the MVP of the league. And that's a challenge for Luka. How great do you want to be? Because if being great is the priority, then that's a year-round commitment. And it's, you know, it's diet, it's, you know, cutting down maybe on some socializing, so to speak. You know, obviously, commitment to off-season routine, it is a lot. And, you know, it's not something that is necessarily fun, but I would think that, you know, as great as he wants to be, at some point, it's a commitment that he's going to be willing to make.
Tim McMahon, ESPN, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Quickly, a quick synopsis of what you think will happen with three big players, Dame Lillard, Ben Simmons, and Kyrie.
Yeah, the Dame thing, you know, one, hopefully he's able to get over those ab issues and able to get back and play like himself sooner than later this year. My educated guess on that is Dame Lillard will end up, you know, being moved probably in the off season. I don't think it'll happen before the trade deadline. Ben Simmons, boy, this is a Daryl Morey classic. And you know, Daryl is, as you guys know, having seen him with the Rockets. One thing he can stomach is just awkwardness. And so, you know, I don't think he's going to be 4 years worth of patience. But if they, you know, I don't think he's going to take a pennies on the dollar deal. And so, I would say it's a flip of the coin to see if Simmons gets moved before the trade deadline. Now, you know, Portland looking like a rebuild should be probably the best route. Perhaps that shakes something up. And I still think, you know, it's not going to be Dame. But, you know, I think there's a C.J. McCollum for Ben Simmons trade to be figured out there. And I'm sorry, who was the other guy?
Kyrie.
Nah, Kyrie's going to sit on his couch and, you know, Google conspiracy theories.
He doesn't really care, does he? I mean, he doesn't strike me as a guy that loves ball enough to get out there by any means necessary. He hasn't done it now.
I think he loves basketball. I just, you know, he's there's a lot going on up there, and I just don't think he's going to take. You know, he's got his heels dug in. He says he's not anti-vax, but he's not going to get it in his arm. And if he's willing to sit out a whole season, I don't understand it, but that's the way it looks like it's going to be.
That's Tim McMahon, NBA reporter, ESPN, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tim, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it, man. I'd like to talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Tim McMahon here on the show. Good job.
That's good stuff.
Time to talk. We got News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And remember, get into the Christmas spirit. We want the Center for Pursuit to make a lot of money. It is a great place. It's independence, growth, choice for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, autism, and similar conditions. We are encouraging you, our wonderful listeners, head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. It's the giving season. It's a wonderful time. David Gao is going to match the first $500, but let's get that up there today because that's just a great, great cause. We appreciate them, and we appreciate all of you that have donated, or if you will donate, please do. Right now, let's do it. Let's celebrate with a Coors Light. Do you think I had any Coors Lights yesterday? I made some gravy yesterday, and some meatballs, and I had a few cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights while I did it. I was on the Barry Laminack show yesterday. You think he was doing some Jameson? I was drinking Coors Lights. That's how we roll. And you know what? It's just, well, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm cooking. Okay. I'm going to drink a couple of Coors Lights. I'm not cooking. I'm going to drink a couple of Coors Lights. Watching games, going to drink a couple of Coors Lights. About playing golf, going to drink a couple of Coors Lights because it's cold, clean, crisp. I'm always refreshed. I want to always be refreshed. Do you want to always be refreshed? Try my beer. If you haven't tried my beer, or if you tried it before, maybe, I don't know, maybe it didn't fit your taste, try it again. And I'm telling you, it's going to fit your taste. You're going to like it. It's the best light beer that there is out there. It's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.